90.3 FM, New York.
People get ready. Well, New York City, the wait is over. I told you at the top of the show that we had the legendary one from Motown. The Motown guru, as they says, the former Motown guru, Mr. Weldon McDougal III is here live in the Love Zone. What's up, Weldon, baby?
What's happening, man?
Man, you hear him smacking over there, y'all.
Sorry about that.
That's him. We up here and got the chicken. We got the soda. And we doing it just like they do down in Philly, getting down, you know.
I'm telling you.
Welcome to New York City, Weldon, man.
Thank you, man. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to be in your presence tonight, man. I must tell you that. I'm going to shake your hand electronically from this side of the
room, man,
and just say.
But you make me feel, I'm going to tell you the truth, man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like a legend, and I don't actually feel like all the accolades that I get, I deserve, because I was just working.
Well, hey.
And here, years later, everybody appreciated it.
Well, hey, that's the purpose of it tonight. We're giving you the flowers, my man.
Thank you.
While you're here with me, Daddy. But those of you who don't know what Weldon did, who he is, you're probably saying, who is Weldon? You know, what's a Motown guru? Well, all of the artists, let's say the Temptations, the Marvelettes, Supremes, all of them, any Motown artist that is successful or was successful, had to have someone bringing them to the radio stations, making sure they made the interviews. When they were a little out of their right mind, he had to get them back in their right mind.
But more so than that, I tell you something. I remember, like, Frankie Crocker. And I said, hey, man, I got a new group called the Jackson Five, the little guys. He said, man, I don't want to talk to them. I said, come on, man, you got to give them a break, man. He said, man, I don't know. These guys is young. What are they? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I had to convince him that he was stars, you know,
mm-hmm.
And just when he met them, the moment they walked in the room, he said, oh man, how y'all guys doing? And he just started, you know, his thing.
He was hooked on it from there, right?
And that's what I did, you know. I knew the disc jockeys, and they would really talk real to me if they didn't like a group. Or this is like Frankie Crocker again. I mean, the reason I say that, because I'm in New York, and he was the biggest at one time.
Frankie Crocker made it possible. Him and the legendary Von Harper has made it possible for what I do today. So there's no shame in that, giving him his honors, you know. But go ahead.
And that's what I did. You know, I would actually know these guys. Von Harper, one, he used to work at Leviticus.
Okay.
And and what I did, like, I'll give you another example real quick. Von Harper worked at Leviticus, but so I was with Motown, and I give him all of the Motown records. So when he was spinning at Leviticus, he had all of the Motown stuff. He didn't have to buy it or look for it.
Just,
you know,
gave them to him right there. And that's how the records got heard at Leviticus and all that.
Exactly.
Popular.
Right.
See, a lot of people don't realize who did that.
Right, but that's how they got there.
Some people think, he went over and bought them from the store or something.
No. I mean, well, you know, these guys, when they spin records, they don't really have that much money, you know, to go out and buy all of, especially the latest records.
I know. That's why we rely on you promotion guys to make sure that you get us the product as much as possible. Nowadays, man, please, it's harder than ever to get product now.
Yeah, I know.
And you'd be amazed. But we're going to take them down memory lane. Well, then, you know, a lot of you who stop by the website, you know that there's someone that made it possible for Voice Distributions to have their first book deal. And we don't only have music in the online store, but we have a Motown book. It's called Motown, The Golden Years. And it has 350 pages and more than 100 rare photographs taken by my man right here, Weldon McDougal. Because while he was working, he also had his camera, huh, Weldon?
Exactly.
Let's go back, man. Let's see. When your career started with Motown?
Well, I'm from Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my own record company.
Ooh, okay.
And I, one of my artists, well, I'll tell you, my artist at the time was Barbara Mason.
Okay.
I wrote and produced Yes, I'm Ready with her.
Okay.
Had Eddie Holman. We did a record, This Can't Be True.
Mm.
Had the Volcanoes, who became the Tramps.
Right, right.
And several other acts. So I had three partners. So when things got kind of rocky with the partnership, I started promoting records because I was the guy promoting our records in the first place.
Okay.
So because I was promoting records in Philadelphia, they didn't have a black promotion man. And I was the first one.
First one.
The first guy.
First one that they trusted.
Right. Well,
They don't trust too much. Well, I'm not going to go there anyway. But
well, you know, I should also say what you got for being a promotion man was a car and an unlimited expense account.
Mm.
And that's, they didn't usually do this for black guys, you
right.
know what I mean?
Okay.
And I didn't know. I mean, I just said, I thought it was just a job.
They still don't do it for us.
I jumped on that, man.
Man,
so,
that must have been fun.
It was. And then the distributor that I was working for, they had Motown was one of their lines.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, listen, man, you're going to have to promote Motown Records. And I said, so? See, and I mean, being black, and we all knew about Motown Records.
Right.
These gentlemen were white guys, and they wasn't too familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I immediately just took all the Motown records they had. Actually, the biggest at the time was the Marvelettes.
The Marvelettes, man. Which record was there? Was hot back then?
I think it was Mr. Postman had already been a smash.
Okay.
They did some. I can't remember right offhand, man. Right. A lot of these things I'm talking about, I can't remember because it's been so long ago. You know,
right.
I can just remember the Marvelettes. Then I made a record real popular there called First I Look at the Purse by the Contours.
Okay.
It was number one in Philly, and nobody else hardly played it nowhere in the country.
Mm.
And then, you know, in a big market, if you get a record number one,
right.
then everybody else will look at
right.
it.
Right, they jump on it then.
Right.
Hmm. So by you making sure going around, did you just go to one radio station or you just went to them all?
I went to them all.
With that company car and unlimited expense account.
That's right. I had a blue and white Mustang, I never forget.
Blue and white Mustang.
And that's when, I mean, Mustang just came out that year. And, man, I was riding in high cotton.
Now tell me, mention the Motown, Barry Gordy. How was it working around with Barry?
Fabulous.
Yeah?
Really. You know, everybody, Barry gets a bad name. First of all, I'm going to say this.
Mm-hmm.
Not only does Barry get a bad name, but anybody in the music business who is a guru, meaning somebody who makes people, who puts their money out to go in and argue to make these people popular, people don't seem to like.
Okay, okay.
I don't know why they come down on him. But Barry Gordy, he was very unique because he let you do what you wanted to do. You know, he was the kind of guy, like, nobody ever told me, hey, man, you got to promote records like this or promote this record or nothing. They never told me nothing like that.
They just let you do your thing.
I just did my thing.
And it worked.
Well, so far.
Oh, man, let's go down with some of the acts that you had the pleasure working with. Barbara Mason, who we had the pleasure of speaking with a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, she has her greatest hit CD out now.
Yeah.
She's come on board with Voice Booking Agency, so now we're handling her tour dates and stuff like that.
Oh, great.
Beautiful, beautiful lady. And, man, the Temptations... Tell me, let's go back to when you told me one story about the guys that hang out at your house, man.
Well, yeah, this is what happened. Actually, it's good and bad. When Eddie Kendricks left the Temptations, he was feeling really low. And so I said, listen, man, why don't you go on a promotional tour with me? And, you know, because the people love you. He didn't believe that the people really liked him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He thought that they loved the Temptations, not him.
Not him. So he didn't think it would work with being
right.
solo. Okay.
And I should talk. Can I mention other call letters on
there? Go ahead, man.
WWRL at the time was number one.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, Frankie Crocker was there. I called Frankie Crocker and said, listen, I would like to bring Eddie Kendricks over and do an interview. He said, oh, man, you kidding. Because, see, the Temptations was so hot that they
right.
would never do interviews for nobody.
You kidding me?
Because they didn't have time.
Okay, okay. It wasn't they wouldn't, they just didn't have the time
right,
to do it.
Right, they just didn't have, you know.
Constantly on the move.
So Eddie Kendricks now is not with the Temptations, and he got Just Your Imagination. It was number one. So we go to WWRL, and he's sitting there, and the people called in and talking about how much they loved him. He was crying, man.
Did you take him over to WRL?
Yeah.
Yeah? So, and tell me what that ride was like, if you remember back then, him anticipating this interview.
Well, I tell you, his whole feeling was that he didn't think the people would really care for him because he is not with the Temptations. See, the Temptations being as big as they were, you understand?
Right.
So I said, hey, man, that's not true. I mean, they just love each one of you guys. I mean, Paul, he got his own fans. You know, Otis had his own fans. Melvin had his own fans. And David and Eddie, you got your own fans. So when we went there, I proved my point because the people called in and say, man, we love you. Don't ever stop singing, and we don't care if you're with the Temptations or not. And then they was playing Just Imagination, number one record. So from that moment on, Eddie Kendricks was all right.
All right.
We went to Washington, D.C. after that, New Orleans, Miami, and everywhere we went, the people loved him. I mean, they just showed so much love.
And that's all because you encouraged him. You gave him the desire to go on and go through with this interview, and hey, that kicked it off.
Well, you know, I did encourage him, but I already knew. I'm with the disc jockeys. They always ask me, why can't the Supremes come and do something? Why can't the Temps?
The hunger was there, right, for these stars.
Right, right.
If only they can get to the station.
Right.
And here, Eddie, by not being in the Temptations no more, gave him time to do these interviews.
Exactly.
And that set him off.
Exactly.
You listening to the sounds of my man, Weldon McDougal III, former Motown guru, right here live on the air, 90.3 FM. As we bring up the music, we'll be right back with more of Weldon McDougal.
A kiss from you will make this sweet.
Mighty Dells. Another artist that is down with voicebookingagency.com, available for you to perform at one of your events. That's right, celebrating their 50th anniversary in the industry. As I told you earlier, Mr. Weldon McDougal is in the love zone with us tonight. Former Motown guru who were there at a lot of these recording sessions. You listen to the sounds of the Four Tops right here, Weldon, man. I see you over there rocking. It must have just took you back to that session, man.
It sure did.
Talk about it. Tell me about it, man.
If I'm not mistaken, Frank Wilson produced this.
Okay.
And this was in L.A., and this gave me that L.A. feeling.
the Four Tops right here, man. You know, off the mic, we was talking about a lot of things, about a lot of artists that came to Motown. That's what we like about this book here, Motown, the Golden Years. All this information is in here. These artists are in here. Hey, if you're at mauricewatch.com, you need to go there, go to the CD store, click on it, and read about these. Let's go. I bet a lot of people did not know about the Isley Brothers were on Motown.
Oh, yeah.
You see, a lot of people don't know that.
They did a song, boy, see, now my mind. This Old Heart of Mine, that Tammy Terrell cut it the same day before they did.
The same day.
The same day. And what happened is, here at Motown, man, it ran like everybody was trying to get their songs in, because mm-hmm. if they get their song out there as a hit, they make money.
Mm-hmm.
So they try to put everybody on it. You know, that's why Gladys Knight and Marvin Gaye did Grapevine. That's so. What happened? The Isley Brothers, they were kind of steamed because they said, "Hey, man, they come giving us some secondhand songs that everybody else is singing."
That they did already,
right? And that's what they got kind of bugged. You know what I mean? I could just see them now. They were standing on the step in front of the studio, talking about, "Man, we going back to New York and do our own thing, man. These cats don't care about us."
And that's the attitude they had, huh?
Yeah,
man.
And let me tell you something, really, Maurice. The thing that happened. See, they was friends of mine long before they came to Motown.
Okay.
So when the first record they came out with was It's Your Thing. It hit so hard, man. It tore every Motown record right off the chart, man.
Now, this is the first one they came out after they left Motown?
After they left Motown.
Okay, okay.
It's Your Thing, man. It just, I mean, I said, dang, Ronnie, you really doing it.
Man, you know, I listened to you, man, and I mean, like, now God has blessed me to be able to say I'm friends of a lot of, you know, acts and stuff. But, man, you were back there at the beginning of their career, man. You wasn't just a worker, employee of Motown with them. You were friends with these guys. Like, you know, first name, basic, Ronnie, Michael, hey, Melvin, Otis, what's up, man? Jackie, you know,
well,
Martha.
That's one of the reasons I had the job, because I looked at all the artists like regular, everyday people. I never made them feel like they was special, uh-huh. even though they were. I just treated them like every day. You know, I talked to Catherine of the Marvelettes just today.
Okay, okay.
And she's listening to your show, by the way.
She is. Hey, Catherine, how you doing, baby?
And so, I mean, we just talk like regular people. Regular We've been people. Friends for years.
Well, hey, that's the purpose of allowing you to be here tonight, man, and just sit back. Like, when you came in, I told you, I said, this ain't going to be no regular interview. This is going to be a cool, smooth, laid-back, eat your chicken, get your soda drink on here, your chips and everything, and we just going to talk about each and every artist that you want to, going to go down memory lane and just bring them all the way up to the present, man, for sure. Right here on 90.3 FM, this young man had a whole lot of hits, you know. Smokey Robinson.
Yeah.
Tell me something about Smokey, man. I mean, being in his presence and working.
Well, you know, it's funny, man. Smokey's one of the guys that came over my house. He used to stay over.
Stay at your house?
Yeah. And Smokey's always been very cool, man. He's very oriented in the business. You know what I mean? How can I say it? He was always trying to do better, and he represented Motown. He used to like me because I wasn't a guy who was out there getting drunk or messing with a lot of women. Every time I came out dealing with the artists, I was always a gentleman
and about the business.
Right,
about the business.
And that's the way he was, and he used to hang out with me because of that, you know.
Well, I'm surprised he had hangout time, because Smokey was so, they tell me he lived in the studio.
Well, not really. I'll tell you something, man. He used to play golf, which he still does almost constantly. Every time I look around, he said, let's go to the golf course, or pick me up at the golf course. You know what I mean? And I understand he still does it. I haven't seen him in a few years.
Okay, okay.
But he played golf all the time.
Well, see, that's something I didn't even know, because I'm thinking that the whole 40 years, he was just in the recording studio.
No.
as many hits as he got and that he wrote, man, and penned for these artists, I mean, really, I mean, the man is talented, for sure.
I'll tell you something. You know, the book, the Golden Years, mm-hmm. Motown the Golden Years. Right. He, that picture on the front is Smokey Robinson, and it's actually from, he was in the golf course.
Look at here. Now, I'm looking at the picture you're talking about. That's one thing about this book, New York City. This book has so many rare photographs. See, y'all used to seeing the standard photographs that thousands of books them published in magazines and TV. These photos in this book is from Weldon's personal collection, you see. He's not only was he driving them around and everything, but he had his little camera and he shot them. And, you know, hey, he wasn't one of groupie or nothing, but he just taking pictures. And now tell me, back then, did you ever think when you were taking them pictures that they would end up in a book?
No. In fact, the only reason I took them is because I got so tired of standing around doing nothing. You know, you'd be surprised, you know, like after, like if he was in here doing the interview, what right. would I be doing? I'd be sitting in the chair over the side or walking in the hallway or something. Mm-hmm. So I just decided to get a camera and I would take a picture of the artist with the disc jockey. That's how it really started.
Okay.
And then I would blow him up because I had a dark room. I'd blow him up real nice and then I'd bring it back to the disc jockey. And when I go to ask to get a record played, he'd be looking at all these pictures I took, and he'd be said, "All right, man, I'll do you a favor."
Look at that. So you had your game plan, man. You had your game plan for sure, man. And I'm looking at this picture of Smokey on the cover. And now, since you mentioned it, that he was out on the golf course, I can see that, hey, okay, he's not in no studio. You know, he's looking down. He's got the sunlight shining on
right.
him there. So, yeah. You know, I see you got Gladys Knight right here singing her heart out on the cover. Lordy, have mercy.
Gladys goddamn, man.
Gladys is R-A-W.
You know, I'm going to tell you something else. A lot of people ask me, say, man, when you was with Motown, what artist did you really like the best,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Okay.
And or what artist could you watch every night? And to be honest with you, it gets boring. I don't care how good you are. To sit there and watch you do the same thing over and over.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But Gladys Knight and the Pips, I would say, was one of the acts that I could look at more than just one time.
Really?
Yeah, because of Gladys. She some days she'd be really on, man, and it'll tear you up, man.
Mm.
You know, Motown 40, the 40th is coming up.
The 45th.
The 45th, I'm sorry.
Yeah, coming up in what, May?
May the 17th.
Okay.
I talked to Jack Ashford, who's with the Funk Brothers.
Right.
He told me that Gladys Knight turned the place out. So you guys don't miss that show.
Motown 45.
And it's May the 17th, and she turned it out.
Gotta see it. Listen to what's playing here. Y'all see, y'all can't see him smiling over here because I know what's happening. When he hear it, it just takes him back to exactly what he was doing in the recording session with the Marvelettes, just looking at them do their thing, man.
I can see Wanda now.
Let's talk about Wanda doing this one here, y'all.
Well, the Marvelettes, man, they was actually the first group to really hit for Motown. I mean, see, Mary Wells did well, but the Marvelettes was so exciting. There was a girls group. They took over the Chantels, the Shirelles. They just made them kind of second class to them at the time.
Man.
And they, in fact, a lot of times, like they had a Motown review.
Mm-hmm.
What Motown would do is if you asked for a group, they would always send a couple other groups with it. You can buy them with it, you
right,
know.
Right, in the package. We got a little group package.
Right.
Right.
So the Marvelettes was always the one they wanted. And then Stevie or Marvin would go with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they was always kicking, man. They was kicking.
Now, tell me, the Marvelettes compared to Supremes and all that, I mean.
It wasn't no comparison in those days.
Wasn't?
No. In fact, at the Uptown Theater in Philadelphia, the Marvelettes, they was the star of the show, man. When the Supremes came on, they was like in the middle part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And people just didn't like Diana's squeaky kind of voice, you know. It took a while for the Supremes to really be accepted, but the Marvelettes was cooking from the first day, from Mr. Postman, they was doing it.
All the way up. Mention the Marvelettes, we got to say hello to Audrey, because Audrey loves us on Marvelettes, so say hello to Audrey for
Hey, me. Audrey.
Mercy. Mention another girls group here. Woo!
Martha.
Martha. You heard how he said Martha. Oh, she's singing this for you, Mo?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Woo, Lordy, have mercy. Let's talk about her sessions down at Motown, man.
Well, first of all, Martha is still my dearest friend.
Mm.
We're going to give lectures all over the country, and Martha will be one of the people that's with us.
Okay, okay.
Let me say this. I'll give you an example of a thing that happened to us. One time, I used to take them around to do record hops in a lot of cities. So they happened to be in Philadelphia.
Yeah, let's explain to New York record hops. You know,
record hop is where all of the kids would come, and they would play. It was a big dance. Usually had about 5 to 1,000 kids in a school, and they would play records. And they would bring, we'd bring the artists around, and they would pantomime the record.
Okay.
You know, so it just so happened when Martha came to Philadelphia, they had this big record hop, and she was riding in the car to the record hop, and they played Jimmy Mac. She said, "Hey man, when did that come out?" I said,
"Wait a minute." She asking you when did her record come out?
That's what I'm telling you. This is strange. So he said, "When did that come out?" I said, "Man, that's been out." I said, "It's number one here in Philly." She said, "You kidding?" I said, "Yeah, that's number one." So I said, "Y'all, you don't know that?" She said, "We did that record about 4 years ago."
And it just came out and it went just to number one.
Right. So the thing was so strange about it was when we go to this record hop, mm-hmm. naturally the disc jockey wanted to play it.
Right, because it was number one.
Right,
there.
But they didn't even know it.
They didn't know the words. They didn't know the words because it was
right,
so long.
It was so long ago, right.
So how did they get over there?
We had to go, went in the back room, you know, after we got there.
All right.
Got a little box, and they had to try to work it out real quick. Because it was pantomime, they could do it, but they forgot. They didn't know how none of it went.
Now, pantomime is what to the listeners?
It's basically singing along with the record.
Lip singing.
Right.
Like what they call lip singing now.
Right.
Okay.
But most artists that are good, they actually sing. But if you don't know the song, you can make a mistake. You know what I mean?
Right.
You like anybody else. You say, "Oh, I didn't know I said that." Or you be thinking, you know, so hard, you look funny.
Okay, okay.
But it was strange. We went in the back room, and they worked on it for about, I'll say, 10 minutes. And they came out, and boy, and the people went nuts. And that record made it ever since.
Now, did anyone ever come up like now, people at a concert be looking for it? They be saying, "Hey, they lip singing." Did they ever get?
No, because everybody knew it.
They knew that was what happened back
then.
Right.
They knew that was the. They knew that, you know what I mean?
Because, you know, I look at some of the classic videos back in the days, you know, and some of the. Oh, man, I forget the show that the Shindig shows and things like that. And I'll be saying, okay, now, I'm looking at that. I'm going, are they really singing or are they lip singing? You know, and I'm looking for, and I'm saying, now back then they didn't have cordless mics and all that stuff. I'm saying, how are they picking up the audio? So now we know. Back then they was even doing the lip syncing.
Right, right. In fact, I'm going to tell you about Ed Sullivan's show.
Let's talk about Ed.
Now, Ed Sullivan was like the Supremes. When they was on, they would come in at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they would run the show down.
Okay.
But they would tape the background singers. They would run it through until everything was perfect. And they would also tape the lead, you know, dying and singing. Then when the show started, they wouldn't, the background singers' mics was down. You couldn't hear them anyway.
Right, but they were singing.
Yeah, they'd already did their part.
Okay.
And Diana Ross was the only one singing
live,
really, you know.
You hearing the behind the scene information right here live, but 90.3, y'all.
But you know what? The reason why is because it was live TV.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody made a mistake, you can't jump back and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, made a mistake."
Right. It's very understandable. Very understandable. New York City, we're going to open up the phone lines to you. A lot of people listening by way of the website because Welland got fans all over the world, and I'll be looking at. We got to say hello to the people at Soulful Detroit.
Yeah. Hey, Soulful Detroit.
Got to say what's up to all of them there. And, also to people over at the Quick Topic boards, Paul Williams board, people listening in on there. 212-491-4685. That is the number to dial. If you have one of your favorite Motown artists and you want to ask Weldon McDougal something about the artist, something about their production, something about him, hey, 212-491-4685. That is the number to dial to get in live with the Motown guru, Weldon McDougal III, y'all. He's here live. Oh, what is this? This is Bobby. 90.3 FM. Sit back and enjoy New York City.
Accept me as a man. And what about you, Dad? Did you think of what he'll say? Will he be understanding? Or does he think the usual way? Maybe I shouldn't worry, but I've been through this before, and I'd like to get things straight before I'm knocking on your door.
Continue right here on WHCR 90.3 FM. Weldon MacDougall III, Motown Guru, here live in the studios with us. Tonight is an educational love zone night as we go behind the scene and find out all the little tidbits about how they put it all together and things that went down. My man Eddie Holman. Oh, man. Tell me some of your fond memories about Eddie. Something does not sound right there. There you go. Okay. What'd you say, Wellen?
I said, oh.
I was looking into it. I'm saying, wait a minute. Something ain't right there. Now we can go down memory lane with this one, Wellen.
Well, first of all, the background singer is my group, The Larks.
The Larks. Now, you say your group. You mean you sing?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. You hear that, y'all?
That's how I started, actually, the whole business. I started a vocal group. And then I started a record company, so I did all of the background singing for Barbara Mason, Eddie Holman, quite a few other acts that we had.
Phone's jumping off over here. I was trying to take that one, and I missed out on what you said there.
Oh, that's okay, man. The audience heard it.
The audience heard it. That's what, you know, I'm providing the outlet for the knowledge tonight because there's a lot of people that just don't know these details, you know. They just don't know the details behind the history and the music here. That's why I tell a lot of people, Motown, the Golden Years, hey, they need to get this book because it's full of all this knowledge. Like, for instance, a lot of people think Eddie really only had, like, one hit, you know.
No, Eddie is basically from a doo-wop era.
Mm-hmm.
We did a lot of records that Been So Long by the Pastels, we did that over. Never Let Me Go, we did that over. All of them in the doo-wop era, because mm-hmm. the Larks, like I said, my group, we did all the background.
Okay.
And in those days, when you did, they didn't have single artists without background.
Okay.
You know, if you think of Gene Chandler, for instance, Duke of Earl, he got all that background, even
right.
though it was Gene Chandler.
Now, we were talking earlier when we had Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes playing, and, you know, Howie D came in and he was saying, oh, no, that's the Blue Notes in the background, and he was like, uh-uh. Now, we don't want to upset no Blue Note fans, but we here to tell the truth now.
Okay.
Now, you know, you hear a lot of records playing, and they go up under the group name, for instance, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. But in reality, who was doing the background there?
Basically, that was Kenny Gamble, Bunny Sigler, and Carl Helm. Now, the reason why that was is because a lot of times when Kenny Gamble would write a song, he already knew how the background went. So
right.
instead of him teaching it to somebody, or these guys sometimes was out of key, or, you know, wasn't feeling so good that day, you
that
know.
Day. Okay.
So they would just do it, and it would save time. And, I mean, all they had to do, basically, the Blue Notes, was just learn their parts when the record came out. That's what they did. I mean, they did a good job on stage singing it,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of times they did not originate it.
Okay. Now, that was the Blue Notes. Did that happen with other artists also?
The OJs, the Stylistics.
Mm.
Let's see, even at that Motown, I'm not sure about the Temptations.
Okay.
But the Four Tops, a lot of those things, if you listen to them, they had the girls group behind them.
Okay. And you know, some people, they be running, they be saying, oh, wait a minute, ain't no girls in that group. How come I hear women on there? You know, but that's the reason why.
Right. Basically, if you're a producer, you want your record to be full.
Mm-hmm.
You want everything to... And it wasn't about the group. It was about the record.
The record.
And that's one of the things that Motown did. They made records. And, I mean, the group, don't get me wrong, it didn't take anything from the group, because when you would go out to perform, you'd have to perform this. And the people, for some reason, or they never worried about, I heard a girl's voice in the background. They heard
right.
the Four Tops. They loved them.
And they seen them performing and choreography
right.
and all that stuff.
So, you know...
Oh, sing, Brenda. 90.3 FM, you're in the middle of the Love Zone. We're interviewing the Motown former guru here, Mr. Weldon McDougal III. Young man that you had the pleasure of traveling around with all of these artists. Singing also. Background, you know, he told me he could sing. Him and the Lox doing all of the background on a lot of tracks here. If you have Motown, the Golden Years, we want to thank you, number one, for supporting that project. All of the photographs that you see in there, a whole lot of them were taken by this young man. Rare, rare photograph. I'm looking at the center page, Weldon. Hitsville, USA.
Right
in the center of the book here. Man. Me and a friend of mine, Sexy M, down in D.C., we plan to go down there. Because we've never been to the actual Motown recording studio, man, in Detroit. And when I see people on TV, man, you know, it's like I see them walk through. I see B2K and Smokey Robinson now got a commercial down there. But it's like I'm saying, B2K ain't feeling it. You know, they don't know where they at.
Well, yeah. I don't know, but I'm just saying I don't think so. You know, it's funny about that room. I used to go down there all the time,
mm-hmm.
especially when Marvin Gaye was down there, because, you know, I didn't go over. I would come to Detroit from Philadelphia, and we have meetings and whatever. So I wanted to meet the guys or say something to them, I would go down the studio, you know.
Just go right down there.
Walk right on in.
That's it.
They would say, hey, Weldon, what's happening? My man, and other than that, you know.
I'm going to tell you something. I love what I do. But, man, I for one day, man, if I could just swap and just go back there and be in that room with the legends when they're doing their thing, man, and walking in, they'd be like, hey, Maurice, what's up, man? Hey, what's up, baby? How you doing, baby? You know, that would just make my day, man.
Well, it was like that. Like I said earlier, we were just friends, you know what I mean? I remember we had a Christmas party, and naturally, that's where we had it, right in the pit. We called it the pit.
The pit.
And I remember standing on the top stair, looking down there, and Barry Gordy, Dinah Ross, Marvin Gaye, Smokey. I'm saying, dang, look at all everybody together. You know what I mean?
And you there.
Yeah. and they're giving out gifts.
Now, did you have your camera that day, too?
No.
Now, how you going to miss the Christmas party pictures, man? You listen to Little Michael Jackson, man. Back there in this book, I'm looking at a picture of you and Michael. sitting there in the hotel room, and you took a picture of him, and he was like, hey, Weldon, look at here. And you caught him, man. And, of course, Motown, prior to the book, probably would have never released this picture, man.
Well, I have a lot. Like, you see him in there in his pajamas, combing his hair.
Mm.
He used to tell me to take those pictures. He said, listen, man, take me going to sleep. Take me jumping on the pool. Take me. I said, man, I'm tired of taking your picture. I'm going to tell you the truth. Michael used to wear me out. That's why, as it all went down,
yeah.
I have more pictures of the Jackson 5 or Michael Jackson than most people.
I believe you do, man, because, I mean, Michael back in that time was just a barrel of fun, man.
And, he was.
And if he had a camera in front of him, he trusts you.
Exactly.
And he felt safe with you. Hey, he had fun with you, man. You know,
even Barry Gordy, I was so surprised. He invited me to his house because they had a showing of Save the Children, which I did the still photography for the picture,
Mm-hmm.
And so Barry invited me to come to his house. And he said, when you come, bring your camera.
Okay.
And here I am in my tuxedo and everything, and, I'm sharp, and I got a camera hanging.
What was you shooting then, 35 millimeter?
Yeah, well, the reason why my photographs are better, and I'm going to tell everybody, because I had a Nikon camera.
Nikon.
And Nikon was a very good camera at the time.
Well, when you got an unlimited expense account, I mean, you can get a good camera. Ooh, Lord. Let's talk about Stevie Wonder, man.
My man.
Stevie Wonder.
I just talked to Stevie the other day. Let me tell you what happened, man. Somebody, I brought you Philadelphia Soul Legends of the Airwaves.
Right. The DVD, the new DVD that's in the store at mauricewatch.com. You make sure you get it.
Well, Stevie's secretary emailed me and said that she wanted it.
Okay.
And she left her phone number for me to call.
Mm.
So when I called, this guy got on the phone and said, man, hurry, how you doing? What you want? Well, this is my woman or something like that. I said, I'm sorry, mister. I'm just calling. So somebody told me to call, and it was Stevie, man.
Stevie.
He's always playing jokes. He said, man, this is me, Stevie. I didn't believe it. I didn't know who it was.
Oh, man.
So he, in fact, he's in Ghana right now.
Okay.
But Stevie's always been a jokester, man.
Now, see, I'm thinking Michael Jackson was the jokester back then, but I'm hearing more and more that Stevie used to play pranks. And
all the time.
I would think, and that's just proof right there, even though you may have a handicap or something, that's not going to stop you. And it obviously did not stop Stevie Wonder.
You know what? He used to say, you see what I'm hearing?
Did you hear that, New York? Say it again, Weldon.
He used to say, you see what I'm hearing? He's always talking about seeing jokes. He's always had something about, did you see this or I saw that or, just always.
Now, the women love Stevie, man. I mean, and
he loves the women.
He did.
Believe me.
I'm going to believe you.
Let me tell you another thing. Every woman that I know that knows Stevie, I said, boy, that Stevie is fresh. I said, what do you mean? But man, he's always rubbing on me. And that's how he find out how you look. First he'd rub your hair. Then he'd rub your face. Then he'd touch your lips. I mean, then he would reach over and ask me, man, how she look? I said, she fine, man. Oh, I knew that. I just want to know.
Oh, man. Look at that. Stevie Wonder getting well in McDougal's opinion. Oh, mercy, mercy me. As I go through the book, man, we're seeing so many great pictures. I'm looking at a young picture of Weldon in here doing his thing with the hat, man. You still got the hat?
Yeah, I still have it.
That's a collector's item, man, because this picture is a lot of places now, man. I hope you keep hold on to it, man.
Well, I did that purposely. Being a promotion, man, I know if you keep showing something over and over and over, it'll catch on.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at that. What's up with the Superman shirt, man?
Well, what happened?
Don't tell me you was a Superman of Motown.
I had a friend. In fact, I'm going to tell you something, man. That was taken in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a friend, and they had this Superman emblem. And this girl said, let me sew this on your shirt for you. And that's what happened. She just sewed it on, made it unique,
And you became the Superman of Motown.
Not necessarily.
Let's talk about a good friend, a mutual friend of ours who I have the pleasure of meeting with, hanging out with and all that. G.C. Cameron.
Oh, my main man.
G.C. Cameron, former lead singer of the Spinners, and currently now the new lead singer of the Temptations, man.
And I got him in the group.
And you got him in the group.
Yep.
Let's talk about it. How did that happen?
Well, what had happened, he was with the Spinners,
mm-hmm.
and he was disenchanted. Something happened, and he was down. He said, man, what should I do? I said, man, listen, I think you should go out on your own. And he said, okay, well, I need a manager. I need somebody to manage me. So I knew a girl in Detroit that we both knew who was a big manager.
Mm-hmm.
Her name was Nancy LaBisca. And I called her and said that GC wanted to, you know, he's on his own now. He wanted her to manage him. So she said, I don't think I'm big enough for GC. I said, what do you mean? I mean, this needs somebody to, you know, represent him. She said, let me call Shelly Berger.
Mm.
I think maybe he would be interested in, you know, managing him.
Right.
And he called Shelly Berger. Well, Shelly Berger is the Temptations manager.
Manager, correct.
And he asked GC, would he be interested in singing with the Temptations? It took about maybe 6 months. The next thing I knew, GC was with him.
Up on stage, man, and right up front.
Man, I'm so happy for him, too, man.
Likewise, man. You know, and he just lost his mother this year, and, you know, but he's got so many things to look up to and smile about, man, and just to be a friend. And when we interviewed him, I've got to say, that was one of the most kindest and most appreciative interviews I ever did.
He believes in the Lord.
Mm.
He actually... He's a fabulous guy. You know, when we called me, he was in Mississippi. And, you know, he had went back from Detroit and L.A., and then he moved back to Mississippi to get his mind together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it took him maybe, I'd say, 5 or 6 years. Then he started calling me again. That's when he went to Minnesota and did Shadow.
Shadow.
I convinced him to do his own CD.
Well, I'm glad you convinced him because we signed him up with Voice Distributions and we have Shadows in the store. So we owe that also. We're going to say thank you to that too, man. That's why, yo, it's your time to shine, man. You done a lot for a lot of people. You've done a lot for me since we became friends. And we plan to do something for you, man. And we're going to make it happen, man.
But listen, that's, you know what I found out? The more I help, the more help I get.
Mm, mm,
mm. I mean, that's what I do. I mean, anybody in the music business know they want to get with me because I'll help you.
Okay.
I don't want nothing. I mean, these people, I'm so happy to see Barbara Mason and Eddie Holman, GC, any act become popular and famous and rich. And I feel so good. I might not get a penny out of it, but that ain't what I did it for. I did it to... show the world that these people are worthwhile and can do it.
And I'm living proof to that because any business deal that we come down to and we make, he never asks for anything. Never. Sometimes I have to beg him, hey, get that out the garage. People want that, man. You know, let's talk about the newest project that we got here that we just added to the online store before we let you go here. Philadelphia Soul, the Legends of the Airways. Georgie Woods, Jocko, Sonny Hopkins, and Carl Helm. The Legends of the Airways. This, I'm going to tell you, this is probably the best gift you ever gave me, man.
Thank you, man.
This thing is full of so much knowledge of the legendary DJs prior to me, prior to a lot of cats that paved the way, even from Philly all the way up. Jocko, legendary Jocko, may he rest in peace. And I've never had any live footage of him or anything, man, and you brought this to us, man, and now you can have it, New York. It's called Philadelphia Soul, The Legends of the Airways. It's a DVD, and it's on Voice Distributions, and let's talk about this project, Weldon.
Excuse me. How it came about was it's a barber in Philadelphia. His name is Woody, and he went around and he just loves to photograph people, so he got permission to photograph Jocko and all Georgie Woods and Sonny Hopkins, Carl Helm, doing this last show in 1999. So about...
Now that was on WHAT.
Right.
Okay.
And what happened on New Year's Eve in Philadelphia, they would bring in all the disc jockeys who would want to do it, and they'd give them a certain amount of hours just to do their show.
Right.
And the audience loved it, man, because these are guys that they hadn't heard for years.
And that they grew up listening to.
Right, right.
Mm.
And that's what this DVD is about. And when Woody asked me, he said, what can I do with it? I thought about how the technology is coming. Like, I knew that the next thing is DVD.
Right, right.
So I just said, well, let me see if I can put it on a DVD. And that's what I did. I put it on a DVD, And to make it interesting, you know, I put a lot of other things in it. Like I put in record labels. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know this. In Philadelphia, Paul Robeson is from Philadelphia.
Okay.
I put his house and where he lived. I put John Coltrane is from Philadelphia. It's just so much. I tried to just make it interesting, you know.
And you didn't overdo it.
Oh, thank you.
You didn't overdo it. You definitely made sure that we had something to watch and something to listen to. And then I was listening to the listeners. And I hope New York listeners are listening to me tonight, because if I can get a tenth of the love that these guys' fans gave them, man, I looked at this DVD and I was laying on the couch and I was saying, the callers was calling in and Georgia and Sunnyman was doing their show, and I was listening to them showing their appreciation. They was talking about how they grew up listening to this, how they grew up listening to that, and they said, "Man, do you remember this?" And he was like, "Yeah, I remember. We used to go around there and eat dinner every time we came in town. We had to go around there and eat dinner at her house." What was her name? Loretta.
Loretta.
Guys. Right. Oh man, and the fans just took the jocks back down memory lane and told them how much they appreciated the music. Someone was saying, "Man, listen, they don't play the music you guys used to play, man." And say, "When y'all coming back?" But so it was an honor to watch them do a live radio show on video. And
that's
something, New York, we need to get into, probably doing a live radio show on video.
Well, you know, it's funny. When I was doing it, I realized that New York, Chicago, mm-hmm. Los Angeles, everybody going to want to have their
version of
disc jockeys, you know. I don't know if people have footage of them, you know. Mm-hmm. But I did it for the love of the disc jockeys. He could have let somebody else do it, but I said I'd do it because I respect Georgie Woods, Jocko, Sonny Hops, and Carl Helm, because they helped me. They played records for me. They gave me a life. And I didn't want to make it look, you know, like they wasn't nothing, I mean, or trying to make money off of them.
Well, you did a great project here, man. A good job on this.
Remember
the name of it. Philadelphia Soul, Legends of the Airwaves. Also, don't forget Motown, The Golden Years. It's the book, and we got the DVD. And guess what, New York? You can have it. Don't worry about going to that big-name store supporting them, because they don't have it. All right?
And they ain't going to have
it. They're not going to have it. And that's one thing, you know, Wellen. When you came over, you said, "Man, I got this book, man. I don't know if you're going to want it or not, but people may like it. I'm not sure." I said, "Well, send it to me. Let me look at it, man, you know." And as soon as I saw the cover, I knew my listeners would want it because I know them. And sure enough, we put it in the store, and first case sold out. Had to go get another case.
Oh, great.
You know, and we just ordered another case. So those of you who have your Motown, The Golden Years on back order, for the stars and the music that shaped the generation, hey, trust me, get on the email list now and go to the website, mauricewatch.com, because it's back in the CD store online. And also, the new DVD, Philadelphia Soul, The Legends of the Airways, is up there also, man. And hey, Wellen, we want to thank you, man, for everything you've done. And matter of fact, before we let you go, though, we got to play something else that you reached down. Let me find the voice distribution disc here. And I got to cue it up real quick before I let you get out of here. And we're going to go to track number 4, I believe it is. Let's see if this is it right here. Maybe good, I may not. Let's see. Oh, do you hear that, Wellen? Do you hear Wellen? Oh,
yes.
Shucks now. You're listening to the sounds of Bunny Sigler, y'all. Wellen had this one hidden away too. He said, "Hey, voice, you know, you want me to put you in touch with Bunny Sigler?" I said, "What Bunny Sigler?" He said, "Bunny Sigler, man." He said, "Yo, I manage him, man." I said, "You manage who?" He said, "Yeah, Bunny Sigler, man. You know, he got a new CD, man." And he said, "If you want, man, you can put it in your store." I said, "Wait a minute, Bunny Sigler, the legendary Bunny Sigler, man, and you slid this one here to me, man. Oh, man, this is a great love song right
oh,
here.
Oh, good.
And the project that you worked on, awesome. How Bunny doing, man?"
Good, real good. He was in England. He was in England in January. Mm-hmm. Bunny's a very busy guy. He also sings with the Tramps. Where they, you know, they working all over
right.
the world.
Yeah, they doing their tour thing with Chick and everybody, Tavares and everyone. So definitely, but this project here. Matter of fact, sold out. I got to get ready to get some more, man.
All right. I got them.
212-491-4685. Those of you, y'all been sitting back soaking up the knowledge and, you know, having called in to speak with the man. He come all the way from Philadelphia.
That's
City
right.
of brotherly love, man. He come all the way up here to hang out with The Voice. And, hey, 212-491-4685. If you want to say hello to my man Weldon McDougal III, he's here live. Once again, got to thank Soulful Detroit for making sure that the word got out for us. And you got some of your regular posters over there. Want to say hello to them real quick?
Dang, see, man, I can't even think.
Especially, I got to say, New York City Diva.
Yeah.
Say what's up to New York City Diva.
Definitely,
for sure.
Definitely.
My man Isaiah.
Isaiah, definitely, definitely. How you doing, Isaiah? Yeah. I'm supposed to call him, man.
Got to say what's up to Isaiah.
He wrote a review on Soul Legends of the Airwaves, and it was fabulous.
If they go to my website, they can see his review. There.
Exactly.
They can see it because we got it over there with the DVD, and that's for me. Okay. Well, we're going to take this call real quick and go to the love line. WHCR 90.3 FM, hello.
Good evening.
Good evening. Who's this?
George Jenkins voice.
Hey, George, how you doing? You on the phone? Bring
back a lot of memories.
Well, you on with Weldon. You want to say hello to him?
I'd like to say good evening to you, Mr. Weldon.
How you doing, George?
Everything is all right here.
Now, George, you used to be with who? The OJs.
No, I used to work with Aretha.
You used to work with Aretha?
I was running her roadies and valet.
In valet.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes. And also, like I was saying earlier, I used to work at the Palo Theater when I was younger.
Well, you know, man, me and Cecil was very good friends.
Okay. Cecil Franklin?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Before he passed, we used to hang out all the time. Every time he come to Philly, he come over to my house.
Okay. I work with Ms. Ruth Bowens. You heard of her?
I know Ruth very well.
Yes. That's who I work out of with her.
I knew the bongo player, too.
No man is Poncho?
Poncho. Poncho was from Philly, you know. He was from Chester, really. Chester, Pennsylvania.
You know, no man is Poncho.
Yeah.
Took you back, huh, George?
yes. Carnell Dupree, Richard T., Chuck Rainey, Hal Vick.
Yep. I know
Norman,
all them cats,
Norman
man.
Norman Yes.
Well, hey, George, we want to thank you for calling, man, and taking us down memory lane, man. Putting another smile on Weldon's face, man.
All right, then.
Thanks
Have
for
a good
calling.
Evening.
All right. 212-491-4685. That is the number to dial to get in live to say hello to Mr. Weldon McDougal. We got about 3 minutes left here. 90.3 FM, hello.
How you doing, Maurice? It's Althea.
Hey, Althea. How you doing, baby?
Fine, and you?
You on the phone live with Weldon McDougal, former Motown guru. Want to say hello to him?
Yeah.
Go right ahead, darling.
Hello.
How you doing, Althea?
Fine, and you?
What you got to say? Ask me anything.
Who's your favorite Motown artist out there?
Oh, Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
Let me tell you about Michael Jackson. The reason they on Motown was because of me. They was at a talent show, and I saw them. I introduced them to Bobby Taylor. Bobby Taylor recorded them, and now the rest is history.
Did you know that?
No.
No? Well, hey, you just got knowledge from the man right there, y'all. Thanks for calling, man. Yeah, go ahead, brother.
I was going to also tell you, the first time they was at the Apollo, I was with them. And they tore the place up.
What about the Ed Sullivan show?
Oh, yeah, I was with them the first time they went to Ed Sullivan show.
Was he nervous or anything, or was it?
No, they was running up and down the stairs. They were so excited about that show.
Meanwhile, any of the other artists, Jackie Wilson, anybody else, they would have been over there. Oh, okay, we on that Sullivan show or something. But
no, they were so excited. They were so happy to be doing that show. In fact, after the Ed Sullivan show, that made the Jackson 5 because everybody in the world knew them and heard of them or wanted to hear of them, you know.
All right. Thanks for calling out there.
All right. Hold on. Elton want to talk to you.
Okay. Put Elton on. Hello. No? Hi. How you doing, Elton?
Good.
All right, you on with Motown guru, Weldon McDougal. Who was your favorite Motown artist?
Bobby Brown.
Bobby Brown?
Bobby Brown wasn't on Motown.
Eldon, I'll talk to you later, man. Take care of yourself. 90.3 FM, hello.
Hi, this is VIP number 5.
The one that don't what?
Take no jive.
That don't take no jive. Bernadette, how you doing, baby?
I'm doing fine.
All right, you on with Weldon McDougal? You want to say hello to him?
Yes, I do.
Go right ahead.
I don't have no background with the music, but I know most of the music, and I got a lot of knowledge tonight just listening.
Oh,
I didn't
good.
Come in until 9 o'clock, but you was already, you know, speaking at the moment. And I was sitting back here just relaxing, and I did get a lot of knowledge. So I guess I have to go to the record store with Maurice Watts.
That's right.
Okay?
Thank you, darling. Thank
get
you.
Get the book and get the DVD and everything. But yes. I enjoyed just listening to what I heard tonight. So you've been doing it. You just keep on doing it.
Okay? I'm going to try.
And you just probably just do it a little. Can't do it no better. I guess just do it a little more of it.
Thank you.
You already doing a good job.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, darling.
Okay.
90.3 FM, you're on with Weldon. Hello.
Hello, Maurice. This is Mike from 142nd.
What's up, Mike?
All right. How you doing,
brother? All right. Who's your favorite Motown artist?
David Ruffin and Temptation.
No kidding.
No kidding. The Emperor's a Soul.
That's right. Hey, listen, when the Temptations was in their heyday,
yeah.
When they hit the stage, man, at the Apollo, people just jumped out of their seat, man.
That's it.
I seen them jump up.
And they had one microphone in the background for them, and they be just doing steps all the way around.
That's right.
That's the Temps.
That's right.
Don't get no better than that. And that David Ruffin had a voice that was unbelievable.
That's right.
Right.
I was with them. When they was at the Apollo, man, I was with them several times.
And yeah?
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Weldon.
Hey, Mike, isn't that special for him? I mean, he's saying like it ain't no thing.
Right? Yeah, right? The Emperor's a soul. It don't get no better than that. Happy Easter, fellas.
All right, now.
Same
thanks
to
for
you,
calling.
Man.
90.3 FM, hello.
Hi, Maurice. It's Melissa. How are you?
Hey, Melissa, darling. How you doing, baby?
I'm fine. How are you, Weldon?
Fine.
Good. Was Marvin Gaye with Motown?
Yeah.
Was
All right, well,
Motown?
That's who I grew up listening to.
That was my man. That's
yeah,
another
Marvin Gaye. I miss him so much.
That's another guy who used to play a lot of golf.
Yeah, Marvin.
Yeah, he's here.
No, he used to come, and when we get together, he would take me to the golf course and teach me how to drive balls.
Wow.
So, because he used to like to hit, you know, the driving range.
Uh-huh.
Then he would take me to the chip and putt ranges. I don't know if you guys know what that is. It's like a little. It's like a little golf course.
Yeah, miniature
uh-huh.
golf.
Yeah, and you just chip and putt. And I didn't
wow.
know nothing about golf. And he used to take me all
he
the time.
I'm still learning.
But wow. he loved the game. And a lot of people don't know, but Marvin was very athletic.
Wow.
You're right. Because the only thing we see Marvin is either in the studio or on stage.
Yeah.
Or sleep on a tour bus.
Just making hits after hits. Wow.
He was a That's very great. Nice guy. I mean, we know how he ended up,
right.
but...
Yeah,
I didn't know
him. And I missed him.
I didn't know him in those years.
Yeah.
All right, darling.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, baby.
Okay.
And make sure you get your book, Motown, The Golden Years. We got it for you and the DVD.
I want to get the DVD, the CD, and all that.
All right, baby. Well, you have the hotline number. You know how to reach
yes,
us. And you have the website, MauriceWatch.com.
Okay.
All right?
All right, sweetheart.
Thanks for calling, baby. 90.3 FM, hello.
Maurice.
Yes.
It's Mamie, how you doing?
Hey, Mamie, how you doing,
I'm
baby?
Okay, I can't seem to get it on. I hear music, but I don't hear you, so I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Well, you got the, use Windows Media, baby.
I did, and I have your the first page up here with advertising the Love Zone.
Mm-hmm.
But, I click on Listen Live.
No, don't. You don't have to hit Listen Live. Just click on the Windows Media Player. All right, click on that. You see that symbol that says Windows Media Player?
Yeah.
Click on that, baby, and you get ready to come into the Love Zone.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to try again.
Now, I tell you what, you on the phone live with Weldon McDougal from Motown. Who's your favorite Motown artist?
Who's my favorite Motown
yeah.
artist? Smokey, I have a few of them.
Okay, well, hey, here go he the one that had them in the studios, in the interviews. Ask him a question about Smokey.
I know, I read the stories.
You read the story.
I read what you sent us.
Okay, the email.
Yeah, I read that whole piece.
Okay.
Wow. What's his name again?
Weldon.
Well, hi, Weldon.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine.
Wow. Okay. You used to ask me a question about Smokey. I don't have really any have any questions.
Okay.
I see him on this new show now on TV. Oh, God.
Smokey's still doing it. Out of all of the, if you think about all the artists and all the years that they've been doing it, Smokey is still a professional, still
yeah.
works in some of the top clubs in the world.
Okay, yep.
And a very nice guy, still.
That's good. I'm glad he's a nice guy.
All right, baby. Thanks for calling, love.
Thank you.
212-491-4685. You, too, can get in live with Weldon McDougal from Motown 90.3 FM. Hello.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, Big Will?
Big Will in the house.
Holla, holla, holla. What's up, daddy-o?
Hey, we're sitting here just checking you out.
Hey, okay, okay. You got a question to ask Weldon McDougal the third?
Well, not really a question. I just wanted to holler at him and tell him hi. And
how you doing, man?
I'm hanging in there.
Sound exciting.
Yeah.
You got to get the book, man. You got to get the book, Willie.
Yeah.
It's full of the knowledge, man. And I know you. I know your taste in music. I know your taste in music.
Yeah, I've just been running with this doggone project for so much that it's kind of holding me up on getting a lot of things done. But we're going to be out of there in a little bit.
Okay.
And we're going to get caught up on everything.
All right, baby.
All right.
Thanks for calling in, man. Kiss the wife for me.
Oh, we'll do.
All right, 90.3 FM. Hello.
Hey, Weldon. This is April.
April, first of all, you got to turn your radio down, baby.
Hey, Weldon.
Yeah.
How are you?
Really nice.
Okay. Nice to hear from you.
Well, listen, Maurice asked me to come, and I'm telling you. In fact, I might come a couple more times.
Okay.
40 years out.
Come on back up here, baby.
Okay, come
I'm having
back
fun.
Weldon.
I mean, I'm really having fun. I mean, you know, it's a funny thing.
We all have fun up there with him.
But you know what it is? I tell you the truth. All this knowledge and all of these experiences I had, I'm just so happy to be able to talk about it. It's almost a relief.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
Right. Yeah.
All right, baby. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
All right now. 90.3 FM. You're on with Weldon.
This is Francis from 142.
Hey, Francis. What's up, baby?
I'd like to ask him a question, Mr. Weldon, a question.
Yes.
About Marvin and Tammy. If I'm not mistaken, Swept for You, Baby. Remember that old record?
Which one?
You know that Swept for You, Baby? Was that Marvin and Tammy?
No, baby.
I can't. Let me tell you this. I don't know every song that every Motown artist did.
Yes, but I believe that was Marvin and Tammy.
Well, what do you want to know about it?
I just want to know if that was them, and I would like to hear a little bit of it if you had it.
Oh, I don't have it personally.
Maurice?
Well, darling, I don't have no records tonight except for what was in my car.
Maurice, in the future, try to see if you can find it for
us. Well, baby, you know the rule. Call the hotline, leave it on there, and I'll bring it the next week.
Thank you, and have a happy holiday.
Take care, baby.
You too.
Bye-bye.
212-491-4685. You can get in live with my man Weldon McDougal. Ask him anything you want to know about Motown back in the early 60s during his time of reigning as the promotional guy right there on 90.3 FM. He's here live as we bring up G.C. Cameron singing Shadows, Weldon. This is it, man.
I know.
This is the one you helped make possible, baby. Lordy, have mercy, Lordy, have mercy. New York City, we want to thank you for giving us this time. You know, I know we normally be playing music, but the man has so much knowledge that we had to get in there. 90.3 FM, hello.
Yes, this is Janice.
Hey, Janice, how you doing, baby?
All right, I'm from Harlem.
Harlem, USA. You want to say hello to Weldon?
Yes, I do.
Go right ahead, baby.
How you doing, Janice?
Hi, and I love Smokey Robinson.
Oh, good.
Yes, I do, and I love you, too.
Oh, that's even better.
Maurice, since I went to Bobby's Record Shop on 25th Street,
yeah.
Every Friday I listen to Maurice. And I love him.
Thank you, baby.
So keep up the good work.
All right. Now make sure you stop by the website and order the book or the DVD or come by the station and get one, all right?
Yes, I will. Thank you.
All right, darling.
Bye-bye.
212-491-4685. Weldon McDougal, baby.
Yeah.
We want to say thank you, man, for coming home.
Man, it's been my pleasure, man, really. And like I said, seriously, I'm going to come up, you know, a couple more times.
Come on back, hang out with me, man. The doors of 90.3 FM is always open to you, man.
Thank you, man.
You got it. We got somebody else hanging out with us tonight. You know if you come in the zone, you got to talk on the microphone. Introduce your friend right here.
Oh, this is my friend James.
What's up, James?
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome
New
to
York?
90.3 FM, man.
Good.
Now tell me something. You hanging out with Will. How is it being close friends with my man here?
Oh, man, it's an experience. I mean, he's been a legend in my family for a long time. I call him Uncle Weldon.
Uncle Weldon.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Man. His brother... I mean, I'm sorry, his uncle used to sing in my group when I first started the Larks.
The Larks. Well, you know what? We've been talking about the Larks tonight, and what better way to close out the show? We got it. It's going to be in the CD store, the latest project that we got from the man, the best of the Larks, featuring Weldon McDougal and his uncle. We're going to go. What's your favorite track on here, man?
Can I see the case, please?
Go, send him that case.
Sorry, man.
You like all of them, right?
Woo, the final record of the interview is going to be one from the Lox CD right there. Read them off to him real quick then.
Read it raw.
Unbelievable.
Where do I put my glasses?
For the love of money, let's drink to a toast.
Ooh, a drink to a toast.
Let's drink a toast.
What number is that one?
Number four.
We're going to close out the interview with this one.
And the writer of Let's Drink a Toast is Van McCoy.
Woo-wee. Let's go back with this one.
Oh, man, we'll be finishing in a minute.
Now, that's a live session there.
Yeah, that's me.
Great place.
Ooh. Just knowing that it was live, well, it did do something to me, man. As we close out right here, these are the Locks. That's my man, Weldon McDougal. We want to say thank you for coming by and make sure you get home safe, man. Who you want to say hello to down in Philly because they're listening by way of the internet?
I just want to say hello to anybody who's listening that appreciates your show, my man.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
I really do, man, because this has been exciting. And another thing I wanted to say, man, Joe Pep, he's the lead singer of Undisputed Truth.
Okay.
He called me to tell me that he's going to be listening to the show.
Okay, got to say what's up to Joe. Hey, baby. Woo, my man, we got to say what's up to Chris Razax from SoulTracks.com, who made a lot of things possible for us, and he got the notice up on his site also. Well, in any time, baby, the doors are open, baby.
Thank you, Maurice.
You got it. 90.3 FM, you heard him live right here in the Love Zone with yours truly, the voice, Weldon McDougal III.
CR 90.3 FM, New York.